You are listening to Ron Van Dam, America's favorite grumpy old fart.
I'm fed up to hear with your crap.
I'm not sure if he's talking to me or all of us. It's probably all of us. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, there's nothing to see here.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Go back to your homes. There's nothing to see here. Break it up. Come on. Let's break this up. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Good to be with you. I'll be with you for about half an hour today, then I won't be. Look at everything I've done for you. I drove you to the airport. The least you can do is listen to me for half an hour. By the way, driving you to the airport wasn't as bad as I thought. What happened was, when I dropped you off, I actually got rid of you. So, it's not so bad. Sure, I'll drive you to the airport if you promise to go away for a long time. You want me to help you move? I used to say no, no way. Now I say, I'll help you move if it's far away. All right. Enough proof that I'm grumpy. We get it. Okay, fine. I wanted to take a few moments at the top of the show as opposed to the bottom of it. This is the top, by the way. I wanted to talk about this Fox News thing. There are so many people on this planet who don't follow things. Either they follow things blindly or not at all. Very, very impressive. Fox News, here's the backstory, if you're dumb enough not to know this. Fox News is sued by Dominion, which Fox News said on purpose that the election was thrown, the 2020 election thing, and Dominion voting machines were defective, and they sucked, and the whole thing was a mess. And apparently, documents came to the surface from Fox News showing that the Fox News hosts who were pushing this, the election was a fraud kind of thing, knew full well that the election was not a fraud and they were doing it on purpose. This surfaced through memos, emails, right on your paper kind of proof that they knew that they were lying to the public. It wasn't that they made a mistake in misreporting something. They purposely lied in a campaign to lie behind the scenes to the American public. They were being sued accordingly. They go to court. Just before opening statements, they settled the lawsuit for $750 million. Something like $800,000. I'm sorry, $800 million. $800 million. There's no such thing as $800,000 million, by the way. $800 million. $750 million. Thank you so much. Anyway, why would a company just about to go to trial to prove that no, we didn't lie about it? We didn't lie on purpose. Why would they settle at the last minute? Because the evidence was, and we heard it, many of us in the news media did, and many of you who paid attention, heard these actual emails and tapes and texts and things. So rather than go on the stand and be grilled when they have proof that they actually did conspire to say that the election was a fraud, when they knew that it wasn't, they actually said, yeah, we know it's not a fraud, and we hate Donald Trump. Well, rather than that getting out to the many Fox followers who love Donald Trump, if you find out that Fox behind the scenes really hated Donald Trump and was lying just to get your ratings, just to get you to watch us, that would have been destructive. So they settled for $800 million. Here's the problem. Part of the settlement was not that Fox had to publicly say, we admit that we lied on purpose so that you would watch us. A news organization admitting. But that wasn't part of the deal. So Fox News, in a very carefully crafted statement after they basically settled the case, which means you lost it. You lost it. Why would you pay money if you're denying that you did it? Cause you did it. We got proof. All they said was there were certain aspects of the allegations that were true. Huh? But we remain to be a trustworthy, fair and balanced news station. Fuck you. You don't. What? If Fox News admitted that they hated Donald Trump and that the election was not fraudulent, they would lose all their Trump listeners and their Trump watchers, and the network would go down. They would lose advertisers, etc., because the Fox News would not be credible anymore. The point is, it's not credible at all now. It probably never was, but certainly from this incident, it is not. News organizations make mistakes. CNN has made mistakes, MSNBC, your local news. But when they make a mistake, they apologize usually later. They correct it in the New York Times. This is different. This is a news organization claiming to be a news organization on purpose deceiving their audience on purpose in order to keep their ratings high. And there's documentation of them actually admitting that that's what they were doing. Lying to you. We lied to you on purpose so we could make money. Yet there will be people who will watch Fox News forever because they hold it to be the American way and they love Donald Trump, etc. If you enjoy being lied to and manipulated, have a nice day. But the truth is out. Fox News has other lawsuits at their doorstep claiming the same thing. They don't want you to hear all the evidence. They don't want their talk show hosts to be grilled in a courtroom where the evidence is so strong. That's why they settled for that extraordinary amount of money as well that they... It's a drop in the bucket for Fox News, unfortunately. $800 million, a drop in the bucket? Whoa. Now it's not a drop. It's a lesson. But who's really learning the lesson here? Is it Fox News? Or is it you who's learning what really goes on behind the scenes? Not everywhere, but here at Fox News, where they conspired to deceive you and to manipulate you so that you'd watch them. Okay, that's enough. If you weren't caught up, then you are now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. I don't know what day of the week this is. I have no idea. Is it Thursday again? Oh my God, it was Thursday just last week. Do you remember last Thursday? I don't. Do you remember what you had for dinner last Thursday? I don't. Do you remember what you had for dinner last night? If I think about it, yeah, it'll come to me. But otherwise, no, not the tip of my head. The tip of your head. I wanted to talk about something else today, and that's about artificial intelligence, because human beings don't have any, so we have to create machines that do have it. That's what it means to me. Artificial intelligence, yeah, we better make it up because we don't have human intelligence. And I got to tell you, we really don't. For the most part, we really don't. We're just, we're lazy sleepy heads. We are. We're just a lazy society. We don't even pick up our own food. We have it delivered and pay for it. Oh my God. Lazy sons of bitches. That's what we've turned into. Pieces of jello. So we're creating machines to do shit for us. It all started with that stupid robot thing. That robot vacuum cleaner. The Roomba. It's round, yet in rooms, there are corners. I don't know who invented this thing. They should have come up with a corner version of it. I don't know how you get into the corners if you have a round machine. This is what I learned in kindergarten. You can't put a square peg in a round hole and vice versa. Yet this was the artificial intelligence. We'll do a round vacuum cleaner that can't get into the corners. Okay, they'll buy that, and they did. Okay, all right. This is artificial intelligence selling human non-intelligence is what this is. But that's where it started, and it took off from there. And now we're on the cusp of self-driving cars. I don't feel like go getting a sandwich. I'm going to send the car down to get it. Oh, God, what the hell's going on? There's an artificial intelligence art now where machines and computers can put things together that humans cannot. And they're calling it art. Some pieces of art were not actually painted. They were created in a computer. And we've been seeing this in movies for the longest time. I've used this example before. I'm old enough to remember a film called 2001: A Space Odyssey. Are you old enough to know what that even is? It was a Stanley Kubrick film about the future in space, and it was pretty awesome. It was long, but pretty awesome. And if you've seen the film, you've got to realize that was not made with computer animation. That was made with models. They actually created little tiny models like you buy in a toy store, but they created these and put them on a space mat and animated that. And that was the phenomenal part of that motion picture, that it was not machine created. Now, with the AI animation stuff, you can do anything. You don't impress me much. When I see a building blow up or a street explode or something like that, it didn't do it. It was done through graphics, computer graphics. Oh, okay. Really, really interesting. You've bastardized everything is what you've done. You've bastardized everything when you took it out of the hands of the capabilities of humans and put it into machines that can just do anything. Okay, I get it. It's unfortunate. It's boring and it's sad. You know what else started this thing was Photoshop. Are you familiar with that, children of the ages? Photoshop can take anything and turn it into something incredible, even though you didn't do it, a machine did. There are pictures of a beautiful purple sky at sunset. It wasn't purple. They colored it in as being purple into the photograph. It didn't exist. The sky was not that purple. The camera did not pick that up. The painting. It's all done to enhance with computers. And all of a sudden, what I'm looking at is not what actually occurred. Very similar to Fox News. It's sad. Well, that's a beautiful photograph that you took. Where were you? Oh, in the lab. I made it up. I didn't really, there's no such thing. I put it together. Well, you fooled me. Ladies and gentlemen, are we in the business of fooling each other? Is that what we're doing right now? Is that what life is, the ability to fool other people into believing something? Is that where it's at? Yes, it is. It's in a bad place. We're in a bad place. Because we can be tricked. Quite obviously, we can be tricked. There's a series of movies, Avatar. Obviously, it's a cartoon. It's a computer-generated enhanced cartoon. It's phenomenal to look at, but you got to sit there and go, yeah, okay, so what? You've created some type of art in a machine. Okay, lovely. When I was growing up and there were cartoons, it was a painstaking process. Oh my, you did something painstaking? It was slide by slide, frame by frame, concocted by artists. It had a look to it. It had a feel to it. It had an emotion to it. There were people putting their emotions into these drawings and thus becoming cartoons when animated. There's no hope and there's no feeling in a machine. There isn't. There just isn't. You might be in love with your car, but it's a machine. But we attach to these things. Excuse my commentary, but it's true. And now to get off the subject, let's talk about the life cycle of a tick. It's born, it sucks blood, and it dies. And that has been my life cycle of a tick story for today. Oh, you don't believe me? Oh, it's the fact. It's a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
And that is the life cycle of a tick. Thank you very much. Look, I'm entertaining myself. That's phenomenal. All right. I'm having trouble finding a garden hose. Whoa, Ron, whoa, change subjects, why don't you? Okay, I did. I'm having trouble finding a garden hose. I have a large front lawn, and I need my hose. This is sounding wrong already. I need my hose to stretch from my faucet connected to the house to the very front of my lawn near the street. It's a good 75 feet away. I need a hose that's 75 feet long. They have them, but they don't work well. The shorter the hose, the more efficient the water pressure, the resilience and strength of the hose itself. We're talking about the hose itself. I have purchased this spring already two garden hoses and returned them both because they sprung leaks within the first or second use of the damn things. So I know this doesn't interest you. I know it. I know it doesn't interest you. I'm just saying. I'm spending the whole day looking for a garden hose that has a little length to it and yet is resilient. And I know what you're saying. Ron, I got the perfect hose for you. Don't start with me. Don't start with me. I need to find it myself. That's my mission. Am I excited about it? I've already taken my clothes out of the closet and laid them out so I can go garden hose hunting. I'll be hitting some of those stores, the Lowe's and the Home Depot. Already went to Lowe's. I'm not impressed. Not impressed with your garden hose. Home Depot, you got a shot. But I don't think you're going to satisfy me either. Takes a good garden hose to make a man a real man. And that's what I'll be searching for today. I know it's a quest that most people cannot fulfill. I shall, though. And if I have to get a shorter hose and shoot it out more, I will. But there's no reason why I can't find a 75-foot garden hose that will, indeed, delight me. I need to be delighted. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I do have an interesting guest, sort of, coming up momentarily. And then you can go home, because there isn't much happening here. But first, a little commercial break for you, huh? Yeah. We're going to make you buy something. Like, how about pasta?
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paduca.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Klein.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Hi, Ron. It's so nice to talk with you again.
You too. You're one of my favorite authors because the Love Your Age book has become my Bible, as I told you last time.
Yes, I wrote that down. I said, oh my God, he called it a Bible. I was so happy. Well, thank you so much.
It's true. I'm going to make sure that your book is in every hotel drawer. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. I love that.
All right.
Thank you.
May is National Osteoporosis Month. I guess everybody gets a month here, but osteoporosis is something that's quite common for when you age.
It is, and you know, we really don't think about our bones enough. We don't give our bones the attention that they deserve. And here's something really interesting, Ron, is that our bones are so dense and solid and strong when we're kids. We know that. Yeah. And then when we're in our 20s, We really reach our best bone health at that time, like uh-huh. mid-20s, late-20s, they're most dense. Every year after that, they get weaker and thinner. Yeah. And that's just the natural part of aging.
Right.
But we really can do simple things to stop the progression of weakening bones. This is osteoporosis is preventable, uh-huh. is preventable. And I want everyone to know that. And I'm the Bone Health Ambassador for the National Osteoporosis Foundation. Oh. So this month, which, May is National Osteoporosis Month, we are trying to make people aware of all ages that they can do these simple things.
And what are some of the simple things that we can do? I know when I was a kid and I fell down, I bounced right back up. I don't bounce anymore.
I know. And you know what else you were doing when you were a kid, which we should all be doing even now, is jumping. We were jumping. We were running. We were doing jumping jacks and leapfrog. Remember all that?
Yes, I do.
And that's exactly what helped to keep our bones strong. And so one of the things that we can be doing, if you don't have osteoporosis, please, I want to point that out.
Right.
If you don't, you want to be at any age. You want to jump, run, that's weight-bearing, high impact. Jump rope, jumping jacks, and all of that. But if you do have osteoporosis, then something more low impact like the elliptical or gold standard, walking.
Yeah.
But you also need to do strength training and get enough calcium-rich foods, and also making sure you're taking vitamin D, at least 2,000 a day.
Oh.
So these are all simple, right? Nothing complicated. And here's something else, Ron. You know, my feeling is, and I say this throughout my book, Love Your Age, if we feel good, if we feel healthy and fit and feel good, we look good. You just do.
That's
true. Don't feel good. You just don't look as good. So it's like a wonderful byproduct. You know, sure, you can use the best new skin cream out there, but the truth is, if you're taking good care of yourself, mm-hmm. if you're nourishing your body with the right foods, and if you're, working and moving your body in the right ways, you will feel good and you will look good. Simple, simple steps.
Interesting. Can you bust a myth? Can you bust a myth for me? That sounded wrong somehow. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I love myth busting.
Myth, there you go. Thank you. I'm glad you said it. When I was young, my mother told me to drink milk because it has calcium and milk is good for strong bones. Then when I got older, it was don't drink milk because it's got sugar in it and it's too much dairy and all that. What's with the calcium thing? Does calcium equal bones?
That's a great question. And when we're younger, you're right. Milk really is a great thing. But guess what? As you get older, your stomach really can't digest milk as well. I mean, this is true of the vast majority of us. Milk is not really the best option for us. There are so many other ways to get your calcium. And by the way, the National Osteoporosis Foundation always says, get your calcium from food first. And if for some reason, if you have some strange health thing going on where you can't, then you can supplement. But you can get your calcium from food. We need about 1,200 mg a day. And you can get it from broccoli, from certain fish, from kale, from yogurt. You know, you don't have to drink milk. So that's really important to note. So I personally, I steer clear of dairy now, except for a little cream in my coffee.
And that's
that
fine.
I still have.
Yeah, everything in a small amount, except for drugs, is a wonderful thing.
Correct. Everything in moderation.
Yeah, I want to get back to the thesis of your book, Love Your Age, for just a second, because you said something just now that is absolutely true. It's life is perception. It's how you feel. It's how you look. When someone says to you, "Hey, you look really good today." That's the whole day for me. It's like, wow. And then all of a sudden I'm happy and I actually feel better. A lot of it's psychosomatic and such and psychological.
Oh, yeah. No, this is true. Yeah. I have a whole chapter devoted to happiness and things that scientifically backed. And this happens to be one of them. And guess what else happens? It's like a chain reaction. If someone compliments you, you will be walking straighter.
Yes.
You'll be smiling more.
Yes.
But guess what? You will also compliment somebody else. You'll be much more inclined to compliment somebody else and make that person's day. And it's like a chain reaction of happiness, and it is a form of happiness. It's a form of well-being, and that all contributes to your overall health and well-being. There's no question about it.
And
guess what? This is why I subtitled my book, The Small Step Solution to a Better, Longer, Happier Life, because these are all small steps that anybody can take. That was not a big effort, was it, to compliment somebody on their dress.
Right.
Their hair.
Right.
Not at all. But it's a big impact.
It is. I think the brain can actually affect the physical body. And when you are happy and healthy in the head, I think it actually can change your metaphysics somehow. I don't know if that's...
Yes, and there's one more thing, too. Yeah. It's also a feeling that if you feel out of control, like you can't control anything, that can really be quite detrimental. Yeah. So one of my favorite mantras, which I say all the time, is we can't control getting older, but we can control how we do it. And it's true. Every day is a series of choices that we make about our own health and well-being, what we eat, what we don't eat, if we move our bodies, if we don't, you name it. And these are choices that we make, and they are under our control. And the vast majority, including osteoporosis, vast majority of diseases and health issues are preventable.
Very good.
Are preventable.
Well, that's good to hear, certainly. We're running out of time. I can always talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law. All right, the book is...
Ron, it's always so much fun to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Love Your Age is the book. Everybody, you should get one. And give me a website where we can keep in touch with what's going on.
Okay, on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, but also www.BarbaraHannah.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Happy Osteoporosis Month to you.
And to you too, Ron. Thank you. Right. Stay strong.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Hope you join me then. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.